أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه Respected friends and elders, it is with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we find ourselves on another one of the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that seek Laylatul Qadr on the odd night of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The 21st night, alhamdulillah, came and went. The 23rd night, the 25th night. Tonight being the 27th night, many Sahaba radiallahu anhum were of the opinion that Laylatul Qadr is more likely to occur on the 27th night. Can occur on any of the odd nights, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. But more likely to occur on the 27th night. This was the view of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and many of the Sahaba and ulama throughout history. In fact, Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu used to take the Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th night. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned a unique point. Once Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was discussing with the Sahaba and Tabi'un about Laylatul Qadr and what do they feel, when is it. When Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was asked, he said, I feel it is on the 27th night. And then he explained, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the seven heavens. Allah created seven earths. We make sajda on seven limbs. We make tawaf around the Kaaba seven times. Safa Marwa seven times. We pelt the shaitan seven times. So 27th, from the odd nights, the one that has a seven is the night in which is Laylatul Qadr. Could be tonight, it could be on any of the other nights, but we find ourselves tonight, mashallah, on the 27th night. So when we are blessed with occasions like these, respected friends and elders, we should not allow it to pass without benefiting. In Arabic, there's a saying, إِذَا هَبَّتْ نَفْحَتُكَ فَاغْتَنِمْهَا. When the wind blows in your direction, then you must value it. You must make the most of it. In other words, when you get your opportunity, then grab the opportunity. So this is a great opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We find ourselves on the odd night in the month of Ramadan. And Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullah, a great alim of the 8th century of Islam, quotes from an earlier alim who said that if you find the odd night on a Thursday night, then that is more likely. And this year, this is the only odd night that has come on a Thursday night, a night preceding Friday. So inshallah, it is very highly likely that tonight could be Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, respected friends and elders, is the greatest night of the year. It is the greatest night. There is no greater occasion in the Islamic calendar than Laylatul Qadr. Therefore, we ought to maximize our benefit. Therefore, we ought to ensure that we waste no time on a night like tonight. Social media, we should be completely off. The cell phone should be switched off if there's no real, genuine need. And if you need to have the cell phone for whatever reason, then off the internet on the cell phone. Don't get those WhatsApp messages and other notifications that will come and distract us. We can't afford to be distracted on a night like tonight. Many a time, we pick up the phone innocently to do some work, to phone someone, to send a message, to check something on the calendar. But by the time you go through all the notifications, you forgot why you even picked up the phone. That's the distraction device that it is. So on a night like tonight, we can't afford distractions. Tonight we have to dedicate to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and most importantly, to tawbah. The greatest thing you can achieve on a night like tonight is to get our sins forgiven. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, if I have to find Laylatul Qadr, what should I do? Sayyidah Aisha was the most beloved human being to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His most beloved is asking him about the most auspicious night of the year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her this answer, would have been nothing else but the best action he would have told her. And then he tells us, say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are most forgiving. You love to forgive. So forgive me. In other words, earn your forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a night like Qadr. Laylatul Qadr has acquired its great virtue. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. Better than 1,000 months mentioned in Quran. Better than 1,000 months. Not equal to 1,000 months. Better than 83 years and 4 months. So important is this night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the famous long hadith where he introduced the month of Ramadan to the Sahaba, on the last day of Sha'ban, before Ramadan could start, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the Sahaba about the month of Ramadan. وَهُوَ قَدْ أَضَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. On the third sentence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about Laylatul Qadr. A great month has dawned upon you, a Mubarak month, and a month in which there's a night that is better than 1,000 months. 3 weeks in advance, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the Sahaba that this great night is coming. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated and he pondered over the lengthy lifespans of the previous ummats. The historians mention previous ummats like the Qawmi Aad, Qawmi Thamud, the early nations, they would live for hundreds of years. In fact, they would only get baligh and reach the age of puberty, they would mature at 100. So in other words, for us to understand, if somebody died at the age of 90, they would say, Bichara, the poor child died. 90-year-old child, wasn't even mature, and he died. So if they lived for 400-500 years at a time, they were able to engage in ibadah for centuries, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for centuries, for hundreds of years. Whereas the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the average lifespan, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, is between 60 to 70. 60 to 70 years is average lifespan. Very few will surpass that. وَأَقَلُّهُمْ مَنْ يَجُوزُ ذَلِكَ. So when Rasulullah SAW saw that, his ummah will engage in ibadah for a few decades, in comparison to a few centuries of ibadah in the previous ummahs. So this saddened him that the previous ummah's ibadah will be much more than his ummah. Imam Malik rahimahullah says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pondering over this, and he had this feeling of sadness, then that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed the ummah with Laylatul Qadr. That Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. This is a gift from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a khususiyat and a speciality for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a speciality for me and you. No other ummah was given a night like tonight. And respected friends and elders, this night doesn't just come once in a lifetime of every mu'min. No, Allah gives us this opportunity every year. Every year Allah gives us this opportunity. If a person frees himself on the odd nights and makes ibadah, then every year he can get the reward of more than 83 years and 4 months of ibadah. So if he did this for 10 years of his life, the 830 years more than that, not equal to, it's better than 1,000 months, each Laylatul Qadr. So for 10 years, if he got Laylatul Qadr, it's like he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for close to 1,000 years. That is the barakat of the fikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the concern he had for his ummah. How unfortunate it would be that if a night like Laylatul Qadr gets us, and we are oblivious, we continue with our wrongs, we are negligent, we don't maximize and take benefit. Therefore, it is of utmost importance that on a night like tonight, we dedicate to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. When it comes to our nafil ibadah, then there is nothing set and no hard and fast. The ideal is for a person to spend this night in salah and dua and tawbah and istighfar. In addition to that, whatever other ibadah a person is comfortable with, he should spend the night in that ibadah. Tilawat of Quran, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, durood sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Malik rahimahullah mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put different abilities in different people when it comes to your nafil. So whatever Allah has made easy for you, bottom line is spend the night as much as possible in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bare minimum is for us to abstain from sin and go and sleep. If a person can't make ibadah, then at least don't sin on a night like tonight. How can we expect for our sins to be forgiven when we continue to sin on a night like tonight? Whether it is watching things on the television or on the internet or listening to music or sitting and gossiping with people, looking at haram, listening to haram, speaking haram. This should be out of our lives forever. But they minimum on a night like tonight. A night like tonight, there should be nothing that will distract you. If you don't have the drive to do ibadah, then go and sleep. Sleep away and don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person sleeps on any night in the state of wudu, in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum have mentioned, that person who sleeps in the state of wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows his soul, his ruh, to make sajda under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, you made wudu and you slept. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you can be snoring and dreaming away on your bed. And while you are doing that, your soul is allowed to make sajda under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a great honor. And if it has to happen on a night like tonight, on a night like Laylatul Qadr, so even if a person cannot do ibadah, the idea is everyone should try. Those who are sickly, those who are elderly, or those who feel they have this tendency to fall into sin, then we are saying, then go and sleep as quick as possible. But make sure that we sleep in the state of wudu every night. Sleeping with wudu has got multiple benefits. Firstly, obviously, it is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, if a person passes away, if maut comes to him in that sleep of his, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, mutta ala al-fitra. Your death will be on the fitrat of Islam, on the deen of Islam. Guaranteed mubarak maut this is. Other riwayat mention, a person who dies in a state of wudu gets the reward of a shaheed. As the Shaykh Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Kantehlevi rahimahullah says, a person who sleeps with wudu, he will be saved from nightmares. He will have, his dreams will be more true. So there's a lot of benefit in sleeping in the state of wudu. And from amongst it all, to crown it and to cap it up, your soul will be making sajda under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because whilst we are asleep, our souls leave us to an extent. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha wal-lati lam tamut fi manamiha. Allah takes away a part of our soul while we are in our sleep also. So at that time, wherever the soul is going and roaming, it will be allowed to roam under the arsh of Allah and make sajda under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the greatest thing we can do tonight is to earn our tawbah, earn our forgiveness and maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight in the taraweeh, the ayat was recited, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. O you who believe, make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sincere tawbah. Ulama explain under this verse, sincere tawbah entails three things. For our tawbah and our repentance to be considered tawbatan nasuha, sincere tawbah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah definitely accept. Three things. Number one is a person must stop the wrong that he was engaged in. Whatever the sin. If he had the habit of looking at haram, he must stop. If he had a habit of listening to music or haram, he must stop. If he had a habit of alcohol, drugs, whatever else it may be, Allah save us. Then he has to put a stop to that. Second, he must regret from the bottom of his heart that why did I commit this sin? Why did I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Regret over the sin is the most important ingredient in tawbah. So important that one hadith mentions, an-nadmu tawbah. Mere regret equals tawbah. That is how important nadamat and regret is when it comes to making tawbah. Regret not because you got caught, not because you were humiliated in society. No, regret that you disobeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regret that you disobeyed such a being who has blessed us with everything. Such a being who is capable of punishing us at any given time. That kind of regret. Ya Allah, I regret from the bottom of my heart that I broke your command. And thirdly, make a firm, determined pledge. Go back to this sin. Any person who does this, ulama explain, this is termed as tawbah and nasuha, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept his tawbah. If a person does this with sincerity, then his sheet is wiped clean. The sin is wiped out completely. If he has to fall in that sin again, then all he has to do is make the same tawbah with sincerity, and Allah will forgive again. And if he falls in that sin again, and then he repeats the tawbah, Allah will forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa. The lesson from tonight's dua, O Allah, you love to forgive. Insan, if we offended someone, we ask him to overlook and to forgive us. Mashallah, if he's good character, he'll forgive us. One time, then the second time, and then there will come a time when you will say, bye, you're taking advantage. The more you're going to ask for forgiveness and pardon from a fellow human, the more offended he gets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. The more you ask, the more Allah loves. The more you ask, the more Allah loves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ Allah loves those who constantly make tawbah, who always turn to Him and repent. The hadith in Abu Dawood Sharif tells us, وَلَوْ عَادَ فِي الْيَوْمِ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً Even if it is 70 times in one day, the tawbah broke, so to say. Condition is it must be each time sincere tawbah. You cannot be making tawbah and planning your next move. Then there is not sincere tawbah. Sincerely you made tawbah, you cried over that sin, Ya Allah, I regret doing this, and I will not repeat it. And then he happened to fall into that sin again. And then he repeated the tawbah with sincerity, and Allah forgives him. And then again, 70 times, if this had to be repeated in one day, then too Allah will keep forgiving, and Allah will keep forgiving. And he will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith gives us the understanding as to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you when you turn to Him. Why Allah loves us when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and istighfar, in seeking repentance. This is a way in which we get the ma'rifat of Allah. Generally, when we speak about the ma'rifat of Allah, recognizing Allah, we attach this to people of great piety. The very pious, the very saintly are those who are blessed with the ma'rifat of Allah, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And undoubtedly, people vary in the amount of ma'rifat they have. They vary in the amount of ma'rifat of Allah they achieve. But a sinner, when he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah, then this shows that he has understood his Allah is capable of forgiving him. He has recognized Allah via Allah's qualities of being ghafoor and ghaffar, Allah being afu, Allah being kareem. That is why he is turning to Allah. If he felt and believed that Allah doesn't forgive, and Allah, na'uzu billah, you know, will never forgive, and Allah is harsh, and Allah doesn't want to forgive, then he wouldn't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only reason a sinner turns to Allah, because he knows his Allah has got the quality of being ghafoor and ghaffar, being him. So when a person makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets happy and he says, أَعَلِمَ عَبْدِي أَنَّ لَهُ رَبًّا يَغْفِرُ الذَّنْبَ وَيَأْخُذُ بِهِ Has my slave now realized that he has a Rabb? He has a Allah that is capable of punishing him for the wrong, and that Allah who is capable of forgiving him for that wrong. Has he realized? This pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah tells the angels, غَفَرْتُ لِعَبْدِي I have forgiven him. I have happily forgiven him. Allah loves it when we turn, because this shows that we realize our Allah has got this quality of being forgiving and most forgiving. This is a way in which we recognize our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter what the sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to forgive. When a person loves to forgive so much, the incident of the Islam of Wahshi radiyallahu anhu gives us some insight as to how much Allah wants to forgive us. You know, we hear this often. Allah wants an excuse to forgive us. Allah is waiting to forgive us. All we need to do is turn to Allah. All we need to do is take that step. And say, oh Allah, I have committed this wrong. Regret in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Wahshi radiallahu anhu, we all know that before he accepted Islam, he himself used to say, قَتَلْتُ فِي كُفْرِي خَيْرَ النَّاسِ While I was a kafir, I killed the best of people. Hamza radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was made shaheed at the hands of Wahshi in the battle of Uhud. وَقَتَلْتُ فِي إِسْلَامِي شَرَّ النَّاسِ And after I accepted Islam, I killed the worst of people. The person who falsely claimed prophethood, Musaylamatul Kadhab, Wahshi radiallahu anhu was among those who had killed him. So Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu was made shaheed at the hands of Wahshi. That caused great taklif to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very attached to Hazrat Hamza. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had four uncles, four paternal uncles. Two accepted Islam and two remained on kufr. The two that accepted Islam were Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Hamza. And Hamza radiallahu anhu accepted Islam first, earlier. Hamza radiallahu anhu was a great support to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarramah. He would defend him against the mischief of the kuffar in Makkah. Hamza radiallahu anhu was also the foster brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite being his uncle, they were both breastfed and suckled by the same woman. So they had a close relationship. And then he was made shaheed in Uhud. His body was mutilated. This caused a lot of grief to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Sahaba say, we never heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam grieving like he grieved at the death of Hamza. The shrieks of grief could be heard coming from the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only other time Sahaba described hearing the crying and the sobs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was when he cried for his ummah. When he cried out of fikr for his ummah. Here he was crying like this at the death of Hamza radiallahu anhu. So a lot of taklif came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of that. After Fath Makkah, approximately 6 years after the Shahadat, after the Battle of Uhud, Makkah was conquered. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeded with the Sahaba to Taif. Taif was conquered. Many of the people of Taif accepted Islam. Wahshi was residing in Taif in those days. He fled from there. And then he felt within himself that he wants to accept. So he sent a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I want to accept Islam, but there's one verse in your Quran that is stopping me. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. To summarize it, this ayat mentions any person who does these three wrongs is sinful and will go to Jahannam. Those who ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who commit murder and they murder innocent souls, and those who commit zina. Wahshi radiallahu anhu says, I have committed all three. I worshipped idols. I committed murder and I murdered khayran nas, Hamza radiallahu anhu. And I also engage in zina. So what hope is there for me? How can I accept? Your religion says a person who's got these three sins on his head is doomed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse that came after that. Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan. But for those who repent, who then believe, amana wa amila amalan salihan, and carry out good deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. These are the ones who will be entered into Jannah. So this letter, this message was sent to Wahshi, that you may have done this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now announced that the door is open for people like you also. Make tawbah, believe, and do some good deeds, and Allah will forgive and put you into Jannah. Wahshi radiallahu anhu then responds. He says, yeah, there's a condition. I must make tawbah. I must accept. This obviously is a given. But then, وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. He must do some good deeds. What if I don't get the tawfiq to do some good? Will I still be forgiven? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals another verse. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah will not forgive shirk unless a person makes tawbah and becomes a Muslim. Allah will not forgive ascribing partners to Allah. But He forgives whatever is besides that. Every other wrong besides shirk, Allah will forgive. لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ, for whomsoever he wishes. So this was sent to give hope to Wahshi, that Allah will forgive any other sin. No need to engage in additional good deeds. Make tawbah, enter into the fold of Islam. Bring iman in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no other condition. Wahshi radiallahu anhu again responds, and he says, but here Allah says, Allah will forgive لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ, for whoever he wishes. What guarantee do I have that Allah wishes to forgive me? Especially after what I have done. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the verse, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, O those of my bondsmen who have wronged themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope from the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is most forgiving, most merciful. Yeah, no condition of doing any additional good. No clause of it being under the mashiyat of Allah, only whom Allah wishes. Allah says, whoever it is who has wronged himself, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is most forgiving, most merciful. That is how much Allah wants to forgive. To and fro, Wahshi is sending messages. This seems difficult. Is there any way for me? Again, Allah sends another verse. Difficult for me. Is there any way for me? Again, Allah sends another verse. Until this verse was sent to Wahshi, and then he says, now I am convinced. And then he comes to Medina Munawwara and he accepts Islam. Inspecting this verse, Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. Allah is addressing those who have committed sin, those who have wronged. الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have wronged themselves, meaning committed sins. But Allah is still calling us as Ya Ibadi, O my bondsmen. Not O those people, or O those sinners who have wronged. Allah says, O my Ibad, my bondsmen. Allah uses the same term to refer to the pious. All are equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All are the bondsmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is using this kind address that you are still mine. I want to forgive you. إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ تُحِبُّ الْعَفُ. Allah loves to forgive. That is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive us. Therefore, on a night like tonight, bare minimum is get our sins forgiven. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Wahshi, to complete the story, Wahshi radiyallahu anhu, when he comes to Medina, the Sahaba then mentioned, O Nabi of Allah, Wahshi has come. Allow us to avenge the death of Hamza. Allow us to take revenge, an eye for an eye, a life for a life. We can take the life of Wahshi. In other words, he's still a kafir. He hasn't yet accepted Islam. We can kill him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds, a response that is a lesson for me and you. He says, La Islamu rajulin wahid. For one person to accept Islam, ahabbu ilayya min qatli alfi kafir, is more beloved to me than killing 1,000 kuffar. 1,000 kuffar as bad as Wahshi. As bad as someone who caused such the grief to me that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried and sobbed. He cried so much, Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam in those days after the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hamza to console Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell him that Allah has now written it on his arsh. Allah has written on the arsh and on the throne, Hamzatu asadullahi wa asadu rasuli. Hamza is the lion of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't grieve. And after that, the Nabi of Allah was consoled. So a person who caused so much of taklif, more than killing 1,000 like him, is for one like him to accept Islam. One kafir to make tawbah and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more beloved to me. Because the purpose wasn't to kill mankind. The purpose was to save mankind from darkness and bring them to light. Save them from Jahannam and show them the path of Jannah. Me and you have the chance tonight to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah to take us to the correct path, show us the light, help us to give up that life of sin, the life of darkness. Look at the conditions around us. So much has happened in this town as well. So much of suffering now in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, gradually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has restored and brought things back to normality for many. Many others have still suffered such loss that to them seems irreplaceable. No loss is irreplaceable, respected friends and allies. No loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of giving the same back and even better. Allah will give the same and even better back. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. Ummu Salama radiyallahu anha, when her husband passed away, Abu Salama, they were very close. Very, very close. She lost her partner of life. They were close. And they were a sample as a couple among Sahaba radiallahu anhum for the sacrifice they gave for deen. And Abu Salama passed away radiallahu anhum. So when this was mentioned to Hazrat Ummu Salama, his widowed wife, then say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un and read this dua, Allah will give you something better. She says, the thought came to me, who can be better than Abu Salama? Man khayrun min Abi Salama? So I'll read this dua, but who can be better than Abu Salama? She says, Allah then inspired me and gave me tawfiq. And I read the dua. I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati. Oh Allah, reward me in my calamity. Whatever I lost, each person applying it to his own situation, whatever was his loss, oh Allah, reward me for that loss. It mustn't be that we lost that material item also, and we lost the thawab, and we never gain reward for that also. By complaining, by panicking, by not accepting the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, reward me for this loss and replace me with something better. Wa akhlif li khayran minha. Replace me with something better. She says, I made this dua. And immediately when her iddah completed, after the waiting period of 4 months and 10 days, when that completed, none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed for her hand in marriage. What a better replacement Allah gave her. There's nothing better than the Nabi of Allah. So read that dua and Allah will definitely replace us with whatever was lost, and Allah is capable of replacing us with much better, inshallah. We should have that yaqeen. So these conditions come, they soften a person. This is to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Halat aadmi ko banane ke liye aata hai. These conditions come, difficulties come, trials come to make a person, and not to break him. to bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These kind of conditions Allah brings so that a man realizes at the end of the day it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in control. We are at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Only Allah can protect. Only Allah can give. Only Allah takes. So this would have softened us to an extent. Now on the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and kept this off with sincere tawbah and sincere reformation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I want to turn a new page and get closer to Allah, closer to the masjid. MashaAllah, in the month of Ramadan, despite most of the month passing in such difficult and trying times, no electricity, no water, MashaAllah, we still came to the masjid. We still observed the fast. We still did our duty. We still read the Taraweeh Salah. This showed that Alhamdulillah, these conditions came, but it never broke us. Alhamdulillah, we passed the test, inshallah. Now, respected friends and allies, this shows we have the ability. We have the ability to withstand these and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reward for a person who read Taraweeh Salah in a situation that you were in, can a person who was in luxury, a person who had all his amenities, had all the ease, can he match the same reward? Definitely not. The sacrifice and the effort that had to be put in can never be matched by people like us who had electricity, who never suffered the loss of any one tap also. We never opened and no water came out. Our Taraweeh Salah, we hope from Allah reward and the best of rewards. But those who fasted in those conditions, those who woke up for Sehri in that condition, waking up much earlier, preparing the Sehri, and then also found the time for tahajjud at that time, also found the time to make dua. Those then who, they prepared the iftar, the woman at home, despite all these taklif and difficulties and challenges, and then the menfolk came to the masjid, made iftar, came back isha time, read the taraweeh salah. This is very rewarding in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, respected friends and analysts, let us not put that to waste. The month of Ramadan is about to leave. In Ramadan, Alhamdulillah, we are safe from so many other wrongs. After Ramadan, shaitan is going to be released. The nafs is going to get stronger by hunger, by suppressing by remaining hungry. And through the fast, the nafs is suppressed. The inclination towards wrong and haram is suppressed. After Ramadan, the nafs is going to get stronger because you're going to eat. You know, we joke, we lose weight in the month of Ramadan. Recently, I weighed myself, so they said, you lost 2 kilos. So I said, no, every Ramadan I lose 2 kilos. But then on each day I gain 1 kilo, and then over the next week, the next kilo. So that's how it is. And it take another week, is like long for the second kilo to be gained. So when the month of Ramadan is over, then we're going to be feasting. Then the nafs is going to grow. Inclination towards wrong will increase. Shaitan is released with the sighting of the moon. Shaitan will be released. The temptation for wrong is there. But make that sincere tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make that firm pledge, oh Allah, I want to change my life. I want to get closer and closer to you. So that this Ramadan can be a lasting Ramadan. Undoubtedly, this Ramadan is an unforgettable Ramadan because of the material loss we suffered. For decades, people will remember this Ramadan. For decades, it will be the Ramadan of 2022, was such a difficult Ramadan. Let this Ramadan also be a one that lasts in the memory that it was that Ramadan when I changed my life. It was that Ramadan when I made the intention to grow the sunnah beard. It was that Ramadan when I made the intention to give up this sin and that sin, to give up indulging in interest, to give up pornography, to give up looking at wrong on the internet, to give up drugs, alcohol, lying, cheating, stealing. Ramadan of 2022 was that Ramadan when I made that change in my life. Then, respected friends and allies, it was worth it. Then Ramadan 2022 was worth it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Just to end off, ulama explain, tonight we will read the dua, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa. Allah loves to forgive. Allah loves, actually here the words are tuhibbul afwa. Oh Allah, you love forgiveness. That's the literal translation. Oh Allah, you love forgiveness. Ulama explain, this means Allah loves forgiveness in two forms. One is Allah loves to forgive people like us. That's what we have been discussing. And Allah also loves that the people forgive each other. Allah loves that also. So on a night like tonight, forgive. Forgive your fellow Muslim also. Somebody may have hurt your feelings. Somebody may have said something. Some person, maybe you have some ill feeling in the heart towards. a lot of the time it is because of some misunderstanding also. The reality is different. Because of misunderstanding, forgive. If somebody is owing you something, forgiving him doesn't necessarily mean not claiming your haqq. You can still claim your haqq. But don't hold on to any grudge. Don't stop talking to that person. If you had stopped talking to him, if you have broken off ties, join up ties. Make that firm pledge in your heart tonight. If he's not near for you to meet him and greet him and ask him to forgive you, or like we say, to forgive each other, then at least make that intention that now, inshallah, the next opportunity I get, I will meet this person. Now I will talk to him. I will join up ties with him. Allah loves this also. Allah loves forgiveness. Allah loves that we forgive each other as well and live as brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the sacrifices that were offered during the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a Ramadan that lasts in the memory for the good. Not for the bad that happened to us. And not the disaster that befell us. But for the good change we made in our lives. Respected friends and allies, the masjid is the fountain of hidayat. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads hidayat from. Give our time to the masjid. Spend as much time as possible in the masjid, as much time as possible in pious company, in good company. This is the most effective way. This is the most effective way for us to make a change in our life. Outside there are so much of temptations, distractions, the company we keep, the places we go to. There's so many things. As soon as we leave the masjid, before you get to your car also, you are so distracted with the cell phone and many other things around us. Giving your time to the masjid and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attending the majalis and gatherings of the pious, inshallah, this will assist us throughout the year. This will make it easy for us outside of Ramadan as well, that we keep coming in the good environment. The masajid were full. People used to come for all the salawat, mashallah. Fajr salat, the numbers in Ramadan are much more than outside of Ramadan. This should remain. Remain, and this should remain in our lives. Then inshallah this Ramadan was worth it for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salat and salam, adwa. I will recite the salat and salam, then we'll make dua inshallah.